Thank you, Greg, and good to be with you and the worship team and with all of you, wherever you are watching. So long, 2020. So long. It's been a tough year, filled with fear for so many. And I'm sure that there'll be some extra hooting and hollering in 4 days as the clock ticks past the midnight hour. 2021 will arrive, but sadly, fear may shadow us for a lifetime. Therefore, we need to understand how to prevail over fear. If we've not met before, as Greg said, my name is Steve. It's a pleasure to be on staff and part of the Grace Point family. Fear is a normal, unpleasant, emotional reaction to an unexpected situation. Fear is an emotion that God has given us. Healthy fear protects us from dangers. Fear reminds us to be careful around a hot stove element, to slow down when we see the red and blue flashing lights up ahead of us on King George, or to not complain about our in-laws, though fear hasn't stopped some of us from doing all of the above. However, unhealthy fear, the kind of fear that robs us of peace, the kind of fear that limits our potential, the kind of fear that is based in irrationality, the kind of fear that prevents us from living according to God's will, must be halted in order to avoid self-inflicted injury. In case we've forgotten how prevalent fear or the interrelated emotions of anxiety and worry really are in our lives, here's some self-assessment questions. In the last 2 weeks, have you been anxious about exposing yourself to COVID-19? Were you troubled at all by the physical, emotional, or spiritual health of a loved one? Did you worry about finances? Were you overwhelmed by anything such as a deadline or a demand? Were you nervous about your grades? A job interview, the outcome of a medical test, how a difficult conversation with someone might end up. Were you worried about what others thought of you? Now, by looking at your screens, I can see that many of you are nodding. You're right. Fear is prevalent. There isn't anybody who's lived that has not experienced fear. Even during a season like Christmas, the unknown or unexpected can create fear in our lives. In fact, the events surrounding the first Christmas induced fear in many people. Watch this. Joseph, imagine how you would feel if your whole world had been rattled by an unexpected bump. The unexpected created fear for Joseph. To understand more fully how, let's scroll down in your device to Matthew 1:18 to 20 as we continue to delve into the prevalence and the power of fear and how to prevail over it. Matthew 1:18 to 20. This is how Jesus, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. And as he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. The Greek word that was used in the earliest manuscripts for fear or do not be afraid is phobeo. Phobeo can also mean, besides fear, to be afraid, frightened, or terrified. If you're reading from the King James Version of the Bible, you will read that the translators of the King James translated phobeo as fear not. Other New Testament examples of this word phobeo are Mark 5:36, where Jesus tells Jairus, a man who is informed that his daughter is dead, do not be afraid. In Matthew 14:30, we read that when Peter saw the waves, he was terrified. Obviously, when Joseph first noticed that Mary was pregnant, unaware of the Holy Spirit's involvement, Joseph experienced fear. The unexpected bump likely left Joseph wondering, what are my parents going to think? What will people say or think about me? What about my reputation as a godly man? How will I convince them that Mary and I have not been sexually involved? Will I be shunned? Will Mary be stoned on charges of adultery? Why me, God? Why me? We've all had the unexpected happen. And I too have wrestled with how others have thought of me. As well, I've had fears of failure, fears of rejection, a fear of loss. I've worried about finances, my children, fears of what others think. And at times, I've been afraid of the future. What do you fear? What do you fear? Those of us who admit to fear are aware of the power of fear. It impacts our whole being, body, mind, and spirit. From irritability to sleeplessness, anger, forgetfulness, and more. Recently, I found myself being fearful of how others might perceive me. It all began innocently during a conversation with a guy at the gym. As part of our conversation, I mentioned that I was a pastor, and I shared some of my story of coming to Christ with him. The whole dialogue was positive, back and forth, except he went and told another person who I was. So 2 days later, as I was talking to another guy who I was working out with, he said to me, I heard you're a church guy. Church guy? Church guy? I mean, he didn't say it in a negative way. But that evening, I began to think, what if this church guy label gets shared with more people at the gym? Without knowing me personally, people could assume anything. Church guy. The church guy label seems to be a euphemism for ignorant person, someone who's anti-science, anti-climate change, anti-vaxxer, anti-gay people, someone who's boring, preachy, and so forth. It's not a positive euphemism. Now, none of that is true with me, about me, I assure you. And it's certainly not consistent with biblical Christianity. And yet, I feared being judged. Have you ever feared what someone might think of you if they knew you were Christian? It's a real fear. At a workplace, it could actually have economic consequences. And in verse 19, we read that Joseph, when he was still in fear, he was about to make a major life mistake. He was about to break up with Mary. Fear impairs our ability to hear and see God's loving presence in our lives. Had he acted in fear, think of all the things Joseph would have missed. He would have missed God's best plan for him, being the earthly father to the Savior of the world. He would have missed being the husband of a humble and spiritually minded wife. He would have missed joy over his prominent role in God's purposes for humanity. When we are led by fear, we make poor choices. And God does not want us to be ruled by any fear that prevents us from living the best life we can. But do we have a choice with fear? Not initially, because it's normal. It's a normal initial response. But beyond that, we actually do. You see, if God said to Joshua, "Do not be afraid," when Joshua was surrounded by hostile tribes, or when Jesus told his disciples and the crowds numerous times, "Do not be worried, do not be afraid," it must mean that fear is a choice. We have a choice. We do not need to submit to fear. We can overcome fear. And to understand how we can overcome fear, let's look at a key phrase in our text in verse 20. Verse 20 says, "Has he considered this," that is, breaking the engagement with Mary, "an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, 'Joseph, son of David,' the angel said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" An angel is a messenger of God. An angel speaks on behalf of God. And in verse 20, we read how the angel addressed Joseph. He does not call him confused or, "Hey, fearful one." The angel calls him Joseph, son of David. If we are going to overcome our fears, we must focus on our God-given identity. The angel reminded Joseph who he belonged to, what his true identity was. Now, why is that important? The angel informed Joseph that God knew exactly who he was. He was not alone. He was not unseen. He was not an unlucky victim of circumstances or the universe. God knew him and what he was going through. Further, pointing to his identity reminded Joseph that he was from David's line. He was the ancestor of the Messiah that was to come. And this would actually help Joseph grasp more fully the virgin birth. And finally, reminding Joseph who he was would embolden his faith, knowing that the God who protected his ancestor David and promoted that shepherd boy to be a king would also be with him, Joseph, to help him overcome the giant issues in his own life. So, do you know who you belong to? What's your identity in? John 1:12 states, "But to all who believed in Jesus and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God." If you know Jesus, you believe on his name, you follow him, you have been made a child of God. This is why Jesus came. This is why we celebrate Christmas. Jesus came not to stay as a child, but to die on a cross, to reconcile us to God, so we would be the children of God. And God is a good father. He never forsakes his children. You can confront your fear and be emboldened by declaring in the midst of your circumstances, "I am Jane, daughter of God. I am Joe, son of God. I am Steve, son of God." Know that you are not alone. God knows you. He knows your circumstances, and he is powerful over the giants in your life. And victory begins as we recall who we are. As long as Joseph or you and I focus on the issue, we are defeated. When we focus on our identity as children of God, fear dissipates and faith grows. When what we focus on, the circumstances or God, determines our feelings. What we focus on determines our feelings. And beyond just focusing on our identity, we learn another important lesson from the life of Joseph, father of Jesus. We must also act to grow our faith. Verse 24, we read, "When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife." Research into overcoming fear has shown that taking even one small action against our fears helps us to overcome them. We, like Joseph, can triumph over our fears by obeying God's will. Now, how do we discern what God's will is? Joseph had an angel tell him. Now, I mentioned to you earlier about my fear of others, about how I might be judged or misunderstood for being the church guy. How did I deal with it? Well, after a few days of that experience in the gym, during my devotional time, I was reminded about how I was worried about what others might think. Not overly worried, but, you know, the thought was on my mind. So I went on Google and searched up the word fear on BibleGateway.com. And numerous verses came up around fear, including Isaiah 41:10, which says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you by my righteous right hand." That's what God was saying. That gave me courage. Luke 12:4-5. Jesus said, "Dear friends, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot do any more to you after that. But I tell you whom to fear. Fear God." And Galatians 1:10. Paul, in his writing to his critics in the church of Galatia, says, "Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? Or am I seeking the favor of men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ." Well, Paul was a real encouragement to me there. These and other verses gave me the understanding that I was giving into the fear of people again rather than obeying God's call. And as I meditated on these verses, confronted and confessed my fear, boldness arose in me. Later on, I had a couple of creative ideas come to my mind about how to share my faith with my neighbors. And I acted on those. And my faith grew some more. In that moment, I, like Joseph, was reawoken to a proper perspective of honoring God by doing what he commanded. God spoke to Joseph. And Joseph did what God said by taking Mary as his wife. Now, this is a shocking statement. But be assured of this. Fear remains not only because of what we focus on, but because we allow it. Do you believe me? Fear remains not only because of what we focus on, but because we allow it. What is God saying to you in your fear? What will you do about it? Is there a godly action step or decision you know you should take? If so, why are you delaying? Why are you delaying? If you are uncertain about God's will, you can discern God's will through exploring his word, praying for guidance, or talking to a mature believer. Now, as the worship team returns to lead us in the carol, "Joy to the World," be reminded that at this moment, the Lord is King, and if you, by preparing him room in your heart, choose to do, you can overcome fear. Happy New Year. Let's pray. Lord, in this season we recalled how you helped Joseph move from fear to fame. Likewise, you are with us and for us. Help us to trust you so we honor your call to not be afraid. We pray these things in your powerful and prevailing name. Amen.